Welcome all, this is Emily
and Logan
here, and we're super excited to teach you all a thing or two. Everyone that is listening to this podcast has one thing in common.
And what is that?
We all eat food, Logan. I mean, we have to. It's pretty essential to living. But do we all think about where our food comes from? How about the conditions at which it was produced? What was it exposed to? What else was being produced in that warehouse? What did workers go through while trying to produce this? These are all questions that we should think about the next time that we take a bite into that hamburger.
Those are very good questions, Emily, and these are questions that probably aren't asked very often. Before the Civil War, the meat industry was kept local, with nearby farmers providing beef and pork for their own local markets. Then, in the late 1800s and early 1900s, when immigration was causing a rise in population, the workforce rapidly expanded and people were fleeing to the big cities to find work. To keep up with this rapid rise in population, the meat industry was then forced to industrialize, producing meat for the entire country. Immigrants and U.S. citizens alike were looking for jobs anywhere they could, and meatpacking was among the most popular. These factories would hire anyone they could find, overworking and underpaying their employees, knowing they wouldn't fight back in fright of losing their jobs. The plants were unsanitary, unregulated, and very dangerous to work in. Workers had no place to wash their hands, equipment wasn't cleaned regularly, and no one wore hairnets. The machines were very dangerous, with sharp edges and parts meant for crushing. Workers would often lose fingers or limbs if they weren't careful. This led to the food being sent to consumers filled with hair, sweat, dirt, and even human body parts.
Ew.
There have even been stories of workers falling into rendering tanks, being ground up with animal parts, and then being sold as lard. Then, in 1904, a man named Upton Sinclair wrote The Jungle, a fictional novel portraying the conditions in which meatpackers worked. Sinclair's goal was to make the food industry better for consumers and workers. Then, in 1906, Congress passed laws to ensure better regulations for the industry and better treatment for the workers. Slowly, meatpacking became a very respectful craft, with workers being highly paid and treated well.
When Upton Sinclair first wrote this book, he was aiming to make conditions better for those working in these factories. Instead, the public took it as needing to make the factories cleaner as opposed to helping the workers that were in these situations. Sinclair wrote, "I aimed at the public's heart, and by accident, I hit it in the stomach." This was his way of saying that the intended goal had not been reached. In his book, he meant to put a highlight on immigrant workers who did not have many rights. Therefore, they were treated the worst out of any workers. As Logan stated, they passed the Pure Food and Drug Act as well as the Meat Inspection Act in 1906. These were a good step, but not in the right direction. You see, these did not change anything for the workers. They were still underpaid, overworked, and put in very dangerous situations on a daily basis. It took a while for the U.S. to get better in this department. Slowly but surely, they did. One of the actions that helped workers was the first federal minimum wage. This was put in place in 1938 at 25 cents per hour. This cut discrimination of pay down. Instead of paying people based on their gender and ethnicity, employees were required to pay everyone the same. That's not to say that they didn't give wage increases to the supposed superior workers, because that is most likely what happened, but it was a good thing nonetheless. As the years went on, things slowly started to get better. The minimum wage kept rising, and labor unions started organizing meatpacking workers, making it one of the best industrial jobs. Workers finally got benefits such as health insurance and paid vacation time, which was something that they never could have dreamed of in the early 1900s. These conditions started to peak during the 60s into the late 80s, when they started to go downhill again. I'll let Logan tell you all about that.
Thank you, Emily. So you may be asking, what happened? What do you mean it's been going downhill? Well, the meatpacking companies got bigger to keep up with the rise of the fast food industry, their biggest consumer. These big businesses started to adopt fast food labor practices, cutting wages, deunionizing, speeding up production, and having the workers do the same tasks over and over again. Once again, meatpacking turned into one of the most dangerous jobs a person could do. Eventually, the market for this job fell. The poor whites and the poor blacks no longer wanted to do it. That's when they started recruiting workers from Mexico. They advertised in newspapers and on the radio, and even set up bus services to bring the immigrants to the U.S. For years, the government ignored this, letting the big companies continue. But now, with the immigration epidemic, the government agencies are starting to crack down. This is causing the businesses to lose employees every day. Overall, the rise of illegal immigrants coming to work for these meatpacking industries has created a work environment very similar to what it was in the late 1800s and early 1900s.
Taking all this into consideration, we, as people, need to work together to change the meatpacking industry to how it was during its prime time. Every day it's starting to slip back into how it was during the 1900s, and this needs to be stopped. So, if you agree with us, please like and share our podcast.
Thank you to our sponsors at
EconLib.com,
OSHA.gov,
Bureau of Labor Statistics,
the movie Food, Inc.,
The Jungle by Upton Sinclair,
Ranker.com,
and last but not least, Wikipedia. Thank you, guys.